Welcome to the debate. So, what if the exact same kind of radical, tragic innocence required to cure global economic suffering was also the key to solving quantum physics' greatest paradoxes?
That is a massive question to start with.
Right, it really is. Today, we are looking at the expansive cross-disciplinary work of Sid J.A. Hubbard. Does Hubbard demonstrate a tragic innocence, much like, you know, Prince Mishkin and Dostoevsky's The Idiot, by attempting the impossible? Or is he a structural genius who actually solved the Hubble tension and found almost $16 trillion in lost global capital?
It's quite the contrast, you know, structurally speaking.
Exactly. I argue Hubbard is a pragmatic structural interventionist who has diagnosed our greatest systemic failures with exact precision.
And, well, I argue Hubbard is a modern-day Mishkin. His frameworks are beautiful, sure, but they are tragically unworkable in our complex, messy reality.
Let's look at how he actually maps out human suffering, though. Hubbard isn't just dreaming of a better world, right? He built the Right to Life Deficit Index.
Mm-hmm. Using VDEM and World Bank data.
Yes, exactly. He doesn't just say cruelty is bad. He actually shows the mechanism. Using a huge democratic and economic data sets, he calculates exactly how the absence of foundational protections, like an independent judiciary, literally freezes foreign direct investment.
Right, but wait.
And he empirically maps out $15.87 trillion in what he calls capital exclusions. That is lost potential GDP sitting just outside the global market, waiting to be recovered just by enacting basic legal rights.
Okay, wait. Calculating a $15 trillion deficit is one thing, but assuming that drawing new conceptual boundaries will just magically cure human cruelty, that perfectly mirrors Mishkin's Vanity and the Idiot.
Vanity? I mean, that's a bit harsh, don't you think?
Well, Prince Mishkin wandered into deeply cynical, entrenched systems and expected pure honesty to just work. Hubbard does the exact same thing here. He essentially says, look at all this lost money. Just pull these legal levers to fix it.
He provides a rigorous blueprint, though.
A blueprint that mistakes structural poetry for functional reality. He assumes nations will reform just because he, you know, proved the math.
I have to disagree. Because that desire to draw clear boundaries isn't just some naive economic hope. It's the fundamental, rigorous way he views all of reality.
How so?
Look at how he treats hard physics. He uses the exact same strategy of bounding a broken system to actually solve it. Take his paper, Nothing Is All You Need, where he tackles the vacuum catastrophe.
Ah, right. The 120 orders of magnitude problem.
Exactly. It's basically the massive, embarrassing mathematical gap where our quantum predictions for the universe's energy are so much larger than what we actually observe.
Right. He tries to structurally remove that massive divergence through what he calls a paired state cancellation. But we really have to ask, is he actually doing physics here?
He's definitely doing physics.
I mean, he wanders into quantum mechanics expecting his concept of a final frontier to magically resolve the biggest mismatch in scientific history. It feels like he is merely projecting a moral desire for a steady, orderly universe onto a reality that is inherently chaotic.
I have to admit, when I first read his proposed mechanisms, like the jitterbug transition operator, it sounded more like a 1920s dance than theoretical physics.
Exactly. A dance, not hard math.
But what he's actually arguing mechanically is brilliant. It's like cartography. For decades, physicists have treated general relativity like a map that goes on forever, which leads us to mathematical dragons, like black hole singularities.
Okay, sure. The map analogy.
Hubbard's departure calculus just draws a hard border on the map. He says gravity doesn't break down, our map just ends there. He's enclosing general relativity, not discarding it.
Yes, he offers equations to draw that border. But the core mechanism, you know, replacing the cosmological constant with this scale-dependent curvature term, it functions entirely as an aesthetic enclosure.
Aesthetic? It's mathematically sound.
He desperately wants the universe to be an unbroken, nested whole. It's a beautiful, deeply human desire for perfect symmetry. But the universe doesn't have to obey Hubbard's laws of nested causality just because they offer a comforting story. It's an illusion of order.
But he actually offers explicit observational pathways using James Webb Space Telescope data. He isn't replacing the Big Bang with a myth.
It's still a projection, though.
By applying his law of nested causal enclosure, he provides the exact mathematical conditions needed to stabilize these cosmological models right at the point where they normally break down.
To me, he's holding up a mirror of perfect symmetry to a world that is fundamentally fractured. It's a breathtaking attempt, yes, but ultimately impossible.
And to me, Hubbard provides the exact mathematical and economic interventions needed to fix our failing systems. He shows us the precise $15 trillion cost of cruelty and clearly maps the boundaries of our physical universe.
Well, we might never agree on his ultimate success.
No, probably not. But I think we do converge on one crucial takeaway. Hubbard's work masterfully exposes the cynical, rigid limitations of our current scientific and economic paradigms. He highlights exactly where our models cross the scales at which their assumptions are actually valid.
I completely agree with you there. He forces us to look at the arbitrary boundaries we've built and, you know, question why we accept their failures as inevitable.
Which brings us right back to that train station in St. Petersburg. When radical innocence meets a broken world, the world usually mocks what it can't understand. It leaves us with the ultimate question about Sid J.A. Hubbard. Is he the idiot, or are we?